that works right there.
Okay. Awesome. Well, thanks all for coming to this presentation. I'll try to talk loud. So the subject of my presentation today is Faithful Footsteps, How to Inspire Youth to Fight for Liberty. This right here is just a picture of my family. So it's just a little bit about myself and how I came to be passionate about liberty. I'm the third oldest of 10 kids. I was homeschooled all growing up. I actually never went to college, but I do have a successful career now just because of the foundation that we got from homeschooling and the resources there growing up. We had a pretty rigorous lifestyle as far as homeschool goes growing up. I was blessed to be in a family that had two main goals, which are focusing on God and service. And we have a book, the book that you can see there on the screen. It's called The Christ-Centered Home. And in that book, it just kind of tells, it's a collection of principles, collection of the principles and the methods that we used. And it also lists all the conversion stories that we as kids had as teens, where we kind of went from being, you know, just kind of going along with the system, going along with the family, halfway motivated to serve and halfway motivated to do our schoolwork, to actually being like full-on fledged converted and looking for ways to be missionaries for Christ out there in the world. So that is that book. It has stories about our family in it. It's at our table for those who are interested in it. So these are some pictures of my family growing up. You can see there on the left, it's some of us working on some computer projects. At the bottom here, you can see my brother Ephraim is shipping product orders and book orders, because as part of our kind of like family mission and ministry, we work together to produce 7 documentaries and 5 books, just helping answer faith crisis questions for people, scripture principles, different things, because everything that we learned growing up, my dad told us, was that we need to be motivated to learn and look for ways to serve other people. That's a picture of my brother James on a filming trip. After my dad passed away about 3 or 4 years back, then my siblings and I have been working together to work on projects that share the gospel. And you can find those books and videos that our foundation, the Joseph Smith Foundation, has produced at our table, out at one of the vendors here. These are just more pictures of our family working together. This is my sister Hannah and my brother Ephraim testing a new studio setup. We set up a filming studio in our basement so that we could find the most professional way to film documentaries. That's my dad and some of my younger siblings shooting B-roll for a documentary. And my dad, of course, working with my younger siblings doing some research. My dad was really, he had a full-time job as a software engineer and was very busy, obviously, but he always put his family first. So when he would come home from working long hours of the day, from 7:30 in the morning till 6:30 at night, he would invest his time into his kids and try to motivate us to find ways to use our time and our talents and everything that we had and possessed to build the kingdom of God. That is, so onto the subject of liberty. I grew up in a super liberty-oriented home. In fact, the more that I started thinking about all the resources that my dad and my mom surrounded us with, as far as trying to teach us principles of liberty and teach us the founding of America and our Christian moorings of America growing up, I just kept thinking of more and more. So this is not everything, but these are just a few. We literally had resources for every person at every age. My dad would host 4th of July breakfast. He taught classes on the Constitution and 5,000 year late. I have 26 Revolutionary War ancestors, so that was a big theme growing up. You know, like, be proud of your ancestors, be proud of the heritage that you come from. Also lots of Reformation ancestors as well. We did everything from listening to audio dramas on cassette tapes. This is kind of like the old timer, even before there were CDs. But everything about like the Pilgrims and the Puritans. We would color and learn stories from cartoons about George Washington and the Revolutionary War patriots. That's I Love America by Jeanine Brady. That's a kind of a famous homeschool resource for those. I don't know if people are familiar with her stuff, but it's really good. just teaching young kids about character values in America. Yeah, we had bookshelves filled with books about George Washington and Thomas Jefferson. We watched movies about Johnny Tremaine and A More Perfect Union, and for the little kids, you know, Pups of Liberty, or just whatever resources we could possibly find. My dad tried to put up signs around the house, like, you know, America. This one right up here on the top right says, "Sto pro verite," I stand firmly in the forefront for truth, to kind of remind us what our ancestors stood for and how we could stand for the same things. So, yeah, we definitely were surrounded in a really big environment that was really immersed in liberty subjects and focused on how we could defend liberty. But, and also my parents tried to surround us with tons of resources that could inspire us from learning the stories of heroes. For example, most of these books are not just about liberty, but also about Christian missionaries who have gone throughout the world in tons of different areas, whether it's music, getting the gospel to countries that have closed off their borders to Christianity, Jim Elliot, who went to Ecuador, Amy Carmichael, who was a missionary to India, William Carey, who was a missionary to India. Our parents were just trying to constantly inspire us to kind of embrace the same kind of mindset of, okay, go out there and be a missionary. Your ancestors and so many people have lived and died for this. Like, let's take the cause on and carry it forward. And by the way, if anybody has resources that they want as far as liberty goes, feel free to just come to our table afterward, and I can definitely share those with you, because we literally have so many. Growing up, I wasn't super motivated to take action or care about liberty, and a lot of my siblings weren't either, because it's not just enough to learn about liberty and all the principles. That's nice, and you know, you learn the stories, and you are appreciative and grateful for everything people have done for you, but it just doesn't have a lot of meaning to you until you pick up the same cause. It's not just enough to learn about the Constitution. For example, I went to lots of classes growing up in my early teens where we would read through the 5,000-year leap, and I watched Michael Ferris's videos on the Constitution. I went to tons of classes on the Constitution, explaining all the clauses and how it all worked and everything. And to be honest, most of it just went in one ear and out the other. I didn't really understand why I should care about it. And so, to be honest, I didn't really remember much of it. And so the reason why, part of that was, at least for me, was because I didn't understand at the time that to be a Christian means that you defend liberty, and those two go hand in hand. When I was 17 years old and I kind of underwent a conversion experience of sorts, I went on a walk with my dad. Well, to be honest, I saw him out there walking with one of my siblings and my mom, and I just felt like the Spirit telling me, like, you need to go out there and go on that walk with them. I just remember thinking, that's kind of odd. I didn't know it was the Spirit at the time. It was just a thought that went into my head. But I went out there, and I started going on a walk with my dad. And the result of that walk, actually, was my dad asking me, hey, Leah, is there any part of you that wants to be, like, 100% committed to Jesus Christ? Mm-hmm. In other words, before you go drive somewhere, or before you read a book, or before you go talk to someone, or you are talking to someone, before you go eat something, are you going to pause and think, what would Jesus have me do in this situation? You know, what has he told me in the scriptures about what I should do and how I should live? And am I following all the commandments? So, like, just even starting at that basis, like, is that something you care about? And do you want to identify yourself as a Christian in that kind of way? Cause it's not just enough to go to church and read your scriptures. You gotta apply it. You gotta own it. It's gotta be who you are. And I just remember sitting there and thinking, well, that's really radical and that's really crazy, but that is something that I think maybe I would want to do. And it was probably the hardest decision I've ever made in my life at that moment anyway, because I was giving up a lot of things that I didn't want to give up: culture, media, music, movies, friends, basketball, sports, different things. Not necessarily like giving it up as in like pretend like walking away from it, but just, in other words, reorganizing my priorities and saying, you know, I'm putting God first, and I'm going to ask him first what he wants me to do, and if he wants me to do basketball, I'll do basketball. But if he says, hey, Leah, put your time, invest it into your family instead, that's what I'm going to do. That is kind of my conversion story. Once again, that's in our book, A Christ-Centered Home, that's at our table, kind of how I went on that journey. But back to the point of...
Can I say, I read that book, and everybody should just buy it.
Me too.
Yeah.
Could you talk just a bit louder?
Yes, I'll talk a little bit louder. Thanks. Yeah. Chris gave us the pitch for the book.
Or you
so.
Can scoot up.
I can hear you fine. I have pretty good hearing, but I'm not sure about others.
I'll talk
there's
a little
one.
Bit louder. So now that kind of takes us to where we are right now, as far as now I'm really passionate about fighting for liberty in pretty much every area that you can think of, helping people be free spiritually, helping people be free physically. This really kind of opened up my eyes when a few years ago I had some siblings who were in a situation where they were having their rights taken away, and I started working with just going through a lot of experiences with senators and legislators and judges, and even possibly starting a podcast to bring some awareness to how the human rights of especially children are being taken away in America. Kind of going forward with that, part of the reason why those truths converted me and why being a Christian is so important to defending liberty, part of the truths that kind of like grounded me and converted me and motivate me every day is knowing that I am a descendant of the house of Israel, and I'm a descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In the scriptures, there's definitely tons of scriptural and scientific evidence to show that Israel is in every nation, kindred, tongue, and people and today, and that the house of Israel today has a responsibility and inheritance to defend the freedoms and the liberties of not only themselves, but the people around them, and also to help bring about spiritual blessings for other people as well. This is part of Abraham's covenant, where the Lord promises Abraham that in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. And it's an extreme privilege to be born as one of Abraham's descendants. I think there's been a lot of references from prophets and others who have stated that the house, almost everyone today has a little bit of the house of Israel in their DNA and their blood today. Throughout time, righteous Israel has been known to stand up for liberty, whether that's the Parthian nation, which was a country around the time of the Rome and the Greeks, and they stood up for liberty and actually were a nation that prevented Rome from taking power and taking away the rights of lots of countries around that time. A lot of the pilgrims and Puritans around the Reformation, and also Martin Luther and some of the other people around that time period as well, they were proud of their Israelite heritage and their Israelite roots, and they knew that part of being Israel, or being a descendant of Israel, meant that they needed to stand up for liberty as well. I just have a few other groups down there throughout history of righteous Israelite groups that stood up for liberty. These groups claimed that they had the right to worship God, and they had the right to make covenants with him, and they were willing to defend those rights to the death. Part of Israel's responsibilities today would be inheriting spiritual gifts and the promises and the covenants made to Abraham and Isaac. So kind of going forward, you can kind of see it throughout history, situations and experiences where when Christianity declines, freedom also declines. And then you can also see the reverse and opposite. For example, in the Dark Ages, it was the Bible coming forward that led to the Reformation, the founding of America, new inventions, world travel and trade prospering and growing as missionaries were going to different countries. then you can see when the opposite, when communism comes in, or which has deep roots in anti-Christian values. You can see when that comes into play or starts taking over a country, then freedom also declines, because Christianity and liberty are inseparably connected with each other. This is just a really good quote by Brewster McConkie that talks about how the greatest... I would read it. I'm a little bit short on time, but essentially where he says, greatest and most important talent or capacity that any of the spirit children of the Father could gain is the talent of spirituality. And then he goes on to find about how the house of Israel and people who are in the house of Israel today, and this can be shown through the scriptures as well, tend to find it easier to believe and obey the commandments than others. And that, same as when Jesus taught in the scriptures, that his sheep will know his voice and they won't follow the distant voices of the world. The reason why I put this quote up here is essentially just to, once again, kind of show how the house of Israel was foreordained and elected to help and teach others and to be a voice for liberty and people in the world. This is another good quote as well. This one is by Joseph Fielding Smith, and he just talks about how the spirits of men had their free agency, some greater than others, and they were called and foreordained to be prophets and rulers. I've only lightly touched on a lot of the resources with the House of Israel and its involvement over history and defending liberty. If you guys are ever interested in learning more about that, the girl on the screen right there is my sister Hannah. Some of you may have already heard of her.
Yay, Hannah.
Yes. My sister Hannah is amazing. She speaks and does podcasts online as well. She did one podcast called Faith and Politics in America with Hello Saints, Pastor Jeff. I don't know if you guys have heard of him. He's kind of a famous pastor who goes around and interviews a lot of Mormons. But her presentation there, it's about an hour long, but it's phenomenal. Like, if you want to learn anything about the House of Israel and ways to stand up for liberty and freedom and inspire kids, this presentation has everything. It has so much substance, quotes, stories, everything you could possibly want. Just thought I'd put that resource on there for you. Okay, so moving forward, one of the things that has helped inspire me throughout my life to stand up and to defend liberty is knowing some of the ancestors that I've had. One of my ancestors, his name was James Guthrie, and this is actually the Guthrie crest up here, which says Dopro Veritate on it, which stands for, it's Latin for I stand firmly in the forefront for truth. James Guthrie, he was a Scottish Covenanter, so in other words, around the time of the Reformation in Scotland. He's my 10th great-grandfather. around the time of the Reformation martyrs, he was determined to help other people get their freedom to worship, and he was trying to help persuade the people to find a way to make covenants with God. And instead of overcoming oppression from the government through bloodshed and fighting and revolution, like so many other civilizations and countries have done, he was like, guys, if we get back to our covenants, if we get back to the Bible, there's a way to start a covenant on this nation again without any fighting. And he actually did it. Both him and a bunch of other men who called themselves the Covenanters, because they wanted to get back to making covenants with God, they actually started a revolution, not with swords or fighting, but like a spiritual revolution in Scotland. And thousands of people were converted and started changing the culture and bringing freedom back and overcoming corrupt leaders, all without ever having to even pull out a sword. Eventually, though, he was targeted, arrested by the government, and he was hanged for his beliefs. But he stood true to the very end, and his motto that he gave at the end was, the covenants, we shall yet be Scotland's reviving, because he was trying to point people back to go back to the Bible, remember what you've covenanted to do, remember what your ancestors have covenanted to do, and then make that same covenant. This is just a scripture. It's from Alma, but essentially he talks about how one of the ways to overcome the natural man and overcome and become a true Christian and get a change of heart is to look back to your fathers and remember how your fathers have been saved. Same with so many other groups in history, not just the Scottish Covenanters and James Guthrie, but also the Pilgrims and the Puritans as well. They left their warm homes, they sacrificed everything that they had, and lived lives and rules based off the scriptures because they believed that they were Israel. And it's kind of interesting, there's not even a single motion picture of the Pilgrims as far as I've been able to find that's not uplifting and truly tells the story about the heroes these people really were. If anyone's ever looking for a good homeschool project, that could be, and they want to study film, the time has never been easier to create film and videos and study acting and have all the resources for those. But let's see here. So, and then same again with the Revolutionary War patriots. How were they able to start a revolution that was based on principles that what didn't turn into a bloodbath like the revolution that happened over in France just a few years later? Well, there's a lot of evidence that America, the foundations of America, started first with Christianity, and there was a huge like resurgence and revolution as far as Christianity goes in America, like 20, 30 years before the Revolutionary War happened. And because all these Revolutionary War patriots were free morally, they were able to be free spiritually as well, and then they were able to use those correct principles of liberty to help build a free nation. And our dad always tried to instill that in us growing up as well. He'd always say, you know, if you guys want to make a difference, if you want to make a change in politics, instead of going and treating the symptom of the problem, which would be corrupt leaders, correct policies, corrupt policies, you need to go to the root of the problem. First, it's the word of God that changes people, not policy. So go get that to people. And then once you can convert them and inspire them spiritually, they will change the problem themselves. Otherwise, you're just treating a symptom of the problem. Christianity and covenants had laid the foundation of America. This is a book, it's really good. If you want, wonderful for using it in homeschool curriculum if you're ever looking for something. It's called Forged in Faith. I've probably listened to the audiobook for this 3 times. Times were busy and I didn't have a lot of time to read books, but I would listen to this when I was washing dishes or milking goats or doing different things. But it's really amazing. It basically tells all the spiritual experiences and kind of the spiritual reformation that happened in America before the Revolutionary War and how that affected the Revolutionary War. But it does it in a way that it's stories, and it's almost not like a novel per se, but it is written in a more story format. So yeah, how can we expect to restore liberty even today though if we're still fighting to be morally free? We have to fix the moral foundations first before we can fix the corrupt political structures. Another thing our dad tried to teach us growing up as part of our homeschool education was he tried to show us what happens when liberty is lost and how that has affected other countries and how it's going to affect America in the future. These are 3 really good movies that we watched a lot growing up. The one on the far left, it's called The Printing, and it shows a Christian family and some friends over in Soviet Russia as they're trying to work to print Bibles, because over there in Russia in like about the 1970s, 1980s, it was illegal to print your own Bibles, but then they wouldn't give you any Bibles yourself either. So it just kind of shows kind of the secret underground church over there and how they were kind of willing to risk everything to try to print Bibles for their fellow Christians there in Russia. The second video is called For Greater Glory, It tells, in the early 1900s, tells the story of a group of people down in Mexico who were, the corrupt communist government was taking away their liberties and their freedoms, and saying they didn't have the right to worship in their churches. And these people actually, down in Mexico, they stood up for their rights and actually went to war over it. And they actually were able to overcome the corrupt government down there and get their, and get the freedom to worship back. And then the last movie over on the right, it's called China Cry, and it's really good. It's the story of this lady over in China. She's not Christian at first, but as the story progresses, as the movie progresses, she becomes a Christian. She gets placed into some difficult circumstances. I don't want to give you spoilers, but essentially she gets sent to a work camp. Even when she's pregnant, there's a series of miracles where she's put in front of a firing squad, but the guns don't fire. And she's miraculously saved and then freed at the end. These are the kind of movies that our dad would try to show us growing up, because he'd say, I don't want to shelter you from the realities of what happens when freedoms are stripped away from people. And I know that having these stories in my mind all the time growing up, I draw back on these movies so many times when I'd be in discussions with coworkers or friends or even just trying to understand my own future as well. I've had so many different, for example, like coworkers who come from Korea or Asian countries or Poland or different places, and we'll get into discussions about, okay, what is the culture like over there in the country where you're from? How did your ancestors grow up under the oppression? Like, what's life like over there? What did you experience? So yeah, and the fight for liberty continues today as well. There's so many groups over, especially in the Asian countries, but also in Iran, and Iraq, Russia, Cambodia, Burma, so many different places, people being arrested, imprisoned, beaten, tortured for standing up for standing up for Christ. For example, I don't know how many are familiar with this, but that picture on the far left over there with the Help Us signs was a group of millions of young adult, college age people in, who were standing up for freedom, and they were doing different protests. So much of it didn't even come into the news until later, after millions and millions of them stormed the streets. There's so many different people out there who are standing up for freedom, and the fight is still going. That's another theme. These are just some resources, and we put together a full list of probably, I don't know, 30 or 40 different resources that talk about books, videos, movies, articles, everything you can think of that tell the stories of a lot of these Christians who are being persecuted today. That blue book there, The Heavenly Man, is really good as well. It kind of covers the story of the first man to really resurrect and bring back Christianity to China in the mid-1900s-ish time frame. He's still alive today. Actually, might have been the later 1900s, but these are the kinds of stories that we would read growing up, and really kind of were the foundation for our culture and learning about different countries. So instead of going over and studying about China, we're studying about Mexico and just learning random facts about what birds are down there, what animals, and what colors, and different things like that. We learned about the cultures through a Christian worldview and lens. And then these resources also helps keep us converted. I remember what we were fighting for every day too. This is just a scripture from the Book of Mormon here. Another really good example of a man standing up for liberty is Captain Moroni. Sure, many of you are already familiar with that story, but when he rends his cloak and writes on it, in memory of our God, our religion and freedom, our peace, our wives and our children, and then he fastens it on a pole. But not only does he stand up for liberty, but he also reminds the people of why they're doing it, and he all ties it back to how, because you're a true believer in Christ, because because you're a Christian, that's the reason why you stand up for liberty, and that's the reason why you stand up for freedom. once again, I just want to mention, this is something our dad really tried to infuse in all of us kids growing up, is teaching us these principles and helping us understand that it's not enough to just study about Moroni, or study about Christians who are persecuted, or learn about all these different things. You need to take action with it. You need to find a way to lose your life to find it. This is my dad's favorite scripture verse. Where basically Jesus is telling his disciples, if you want to follow me, if you want to be my disciple, you need to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me, and you got to lose your life for my sake to find it. My dad would tell us this so many times growing up. He'd tell us, you know, like, hey, guys, you're going to lose the thing. You might lose some things that are fun for you or that you'd rather do in the moment, but you're going to end up gaining everything. So, yes, just tying it back into Captain Moroni. Captain Moroni also pointed the people back to the fact that they had entered into covenants, and that those covenants are the reasons why they maintain their rights, their religions, and their freedoms. I mean, you can just be motivated to do it out of what is right, but there's a difference when there's a covenant that's made where you are promising the Lord that you're going to do it, come what may. And there's different blessings that are inherited from doing that. Once again, from Alma, just the people at that time with Captain Moroni, when Captain Moroni reminded them these covenants they had made to be Christians, to defend liberty, the people also rent their garments as well, and they were reminded of their covenant, and they said, okay, we're not going to forsake the Lord our God. We're going to do whatever it takes to defend our liberties, our wives, our children. And they kind of took up arms, and that's where they got their inspiration from, to stand up for liberty. Another thing, once again, that Captain Moroni pointed the people back to is reminding them of their ancestry, too. He was like, okay, guys, you're descendants of Jacob. You are part of the house of Israel, and you're especially descendants of Joseph of Egypt. That's part of the reason why you remember these commandments and covenants that you have. You're inheriting all these blessings. You're inheriting these responsibilities from your ancestors. Let's keep carrying it forward. So, yeah, kind of tying it all together. How did Moroni start a liberty revival? Well, number one, he reminded the people of their identities as disciples of Jesus Christ. And then, second, he reminds them of their duties and covenants with God as Israelites. and then what awoke the people to action? Remembering that they were a remnant of Joseph with the house of Israel. And then also taking up the cause of Christians, which was defending freedom throughout the land. And you can see that kind of in all the stories of Captain Moroni, when he's leading the Nephite soldiers into battle, when they're fighting Zarahemla and these other Lamanites who are threatening to take away all their freedoms and their rights of religion, those Nephite soldiers were able to pray and be able to defend their liberties and their freedoms, and God stepped in and gave them miracles and helped save them from that. And there's also different principles of freedom that can be found in the Book of Mormon as well. This is just a really good quote from Ezra Taft Benson, where he talks about the battle for the bodies and souls of man. He says, "Today we are in a battle for the bodies and souls of man. It is a battle between two opposing systems, freedom and slavery, Christ and Antichrist. The struggle is more momentous than a decade ago, yet today the conventional wisdom says, you must learn to live with communism and to give up your ideas about national sovereignty. Tell that to the millions, yes, the scores of millions, who have met death or imprisonment under the tyranny of communism. Such would be the death knell of freedom and all we hold dear. God must ever have a free people to prosper his work and bring about Zion." I know growing up, our dad would tell us so many different times, guys, there's thousands of Christians dying over in China and North Korea right now. There's millions of babies being aborted every day. We'd watch movies about it. We'd learn about that so that we could be educated about it. There's millions of kids dying over in India of starvation. What are you guys going to do about it? Be like, it's your covenant responsibility, and you've been placed in such a situation where not only do you have the privilege to know about all those things that are happening, but also you get equipped with all the tools to do something about it. You guys can sit home and you can, like, complain about the problems, or you can just be like, that's terrible. Like, those things are happening. Kind of just do your 2 cents here and there once a month to do something about it. Or he'd tell us, you know, you can waste and wear out your life in a good cause, and you can find a way to use any spare time that you have to help defend freedoms, help people become spiritually free. And that's what we've tried to do with the Joseph Smith Foundation especially, is realizing that as much as we, at least for us, we feel like this is our calling anyway. This is for everyone. But as much as we would want to go over to Africa and help kids that are starving, or India, or different places, or, you know, go be a missionary somewhere else, is really the spiritual battle that matters the most. Because if people can be converted and become inspired and be able to have the Spirit talking to them and changing their lives, if people can catch a glimpse of what that means, and they can change their heart, you can do way more good in the long run than simply going over and giving a child food. And so that has been kind of the aim of our family, and especially with the Joseph Smith Foundation, is we have been trying to find ways to get the scriptures out to people in a way that's more applicable, in a way that they can understand. I know that so many different times in our church, or in different callings in our ward, so many people have gone up to my dad and said, James, we want to read the Book of Mormon and we want to do it, but when we read it, we just don't understand exactly what it's saying. And so my dad realized, yes, instead of just touting to people, okay, like, keep reading your scriptures, it's hard for people to truly understand what they're saying, so let's study them, let's try to find a way to help inspire people and bring a culture of liberty and a culture of goodness back. I feel like part of maybe the reason why it's so hard to kind of grasp what the scriptures are saying or understand them better is partly because our culture is so degenerate today. So that's what our dad tried to really inspire us to do, is, okay, like, how can we get the scriptures back in the hands of people? And this is actually kind of ties back to a few years ago after my dad passed away. Actually, I think it was in the summer of 2023, but it always seems like a long way ago for me. But back in the summer of 2023, I sat down with my sister Hannah, and I was like, Hannah, we've done a lot of really good things, and we've made a lot of really good resources that have taught people about true government principles and the House of Israel and the Book of Mormon and all these different subjects. But, you know, are we just going to keep pedaling along and pumping out resources? Is that, like, what's the ultimate focus, and how do we know which tasks and which projects take a higher priority over the others? Like, is it more important to work on a movie documentary series defending Joseph Smith, or is it more important to work on something about the Book of Mormon? How do we exactly know what to do going forward, and what's the ultimate goal? And she sat down with me, and she started telling me something, and I, to be honest, I don't remember a lot of the gist of the conversation, but something that really stuck out to me was when she said, in the times of the Reformation and the Dark Ages, the people were in, they didn't have the scriptures and they didn't understand who God truly was. And because of that, they were in the Dark Ages. They lacked technology, they lacked inspiration, they lacked a free government. And it wasn't until William Tyndale came along and translated the scriptures in English and got them the scriptures that they were able to, in a way that they could understand, that those people were then able to take that and truly understand what it meant to defend liberty, what a free government looked like, what covenants were, what was expected of them as people, good Christian values. They needed that. And they needed the scriptures in the language that they can understand, not Latin that the priest would talk about, but English, something in their own mother tongue. She was like, it almost feels like today the scriptures are in Latin again. So many people are saying they're reading the Book of Mormon, but they don't understand how it applies to them specifically. And they say they don't quite understand it. So let's try to find a way to get the scriptures back into the hands of people so that they can truly understand what they're saying. I know I'm probably not communicating exactly the best of how the outcome of that situation, but I basically left that conversation on fire to try to find ways to get the gospel back into the hands of people in a way that they could understand. And since then, that's been our focus, whether we work on something about the Book of Mormon, whether we work on a project liberty-related and we're working with senators, it all goes back to the scriptures. It all goes back to helping people understand them better and in a way that they can apply it. That's another thing my dad would always tell us growing up, because he'd always say, yeah, Satan will be super happy if you just read your Book of Mormon every day and you do family scriptures and everything, but he's gonna cause quite the stir, and he's gonna get really angry if you start applying those principles, especially in your family.
So how are you doing that?
How are we doing that right now? Yeah, so especially last year, me and my sister have been working on a podcast called the 408 Podcast. It's essentially walking through the Book of Mormon and showing that Book of Mormon history and our modern day history of America, especially, and all the different signs of the times, they overlap each other and match each other chronologically.
It's really awesome.
Yeah. Chris will give me the mouth short. We need to finish it. We got about halfway through the Book of Mormon and then we stopped just because some things came up, but we still need to finish it. But it's just amazing to study the Book of Mormon in a different, completely different way that shows you, that ties into history, that ties into culture, that ties into morality. If anybody's interested in learning more, feel free to stop by our table and I'll be more than happy to bring up our timeline and tell you more about it. That's one project that we're working on right now.
That's why you're here, because I listened to that.
Yeah. Yes. I get a phone call one day and Chris calls, she calls me up. She's like, my name is Chris Day. I've got a conference up in Idaho. We were just talking about.
I met you down there at the conference, and then we talked and I said, come here
and talk more about this stuff. So, another thing that we're trying to do, to get scriptures back in the hands of people is also defending the Restoration and Joseph Smith and helping show people, you know what, like if we lose the Restoration, if we lose who Joseph Smith really was, people don't know where to go to look for answers, you know. You don't come to us for the answers. Go to Joseph Smith for the answers. Go to the Book of Mormon for answers. We're just kind of here to help point you in that direction. Don't come to us for answers. Go there instead. And another thing that we're doing too is taking all of the teachings of Joseph Smith. He talked about everything, the Holy Ghost, how to raise your family, how to be a mother, how to have correct government, how to, so many different things. And we're trying to organize all of his teachings by topic and put those on our website too. We've got
a lot of
projects running that we just try to do in our free time. And we've got some really good volunteers that help us as well. And so, yeah, that's what we're currently doing right now. Our organization is 100% volunteer-led. We just try to do it in our free time as much as possible. I work full-time. My sister pretty much works full-time as well. And so this is what we just try to do after we get off of work during and on the weekends or Sundays or whatever time we can fit in. So yeah, I guess in closing there, walking away from this presentation, what are maybe some ways that you could be inspired to create like a more liberty focused environment, teach your kids more about liberty, inspire them more for it. sorry guys. I'm not saying that these would be things to do, but this is just one way that our family tried to apply and bring liberty back into our home. And that would be kind of creating a liberty-focused environment. We would put scriptures about liberty in the bathrooms, so kids were in there taking a shower or going to the bathroom, whatever. They're constantly reminded, you know, you look at the scriptures, you're memorizing them. Can't tell you how many scriptures I've memorized about liberty of all in the bathroom. You know, whether you're doing your hair or something else. My parents tried to put lots of pictures and signs on the walls. They decorated our bedrooms in kind of liberty themes, putting scriptures and pictures and eagles and red, white, and blue, and teaching us the symbols of the color on our bedspreads, on our walls, on our bookshelves, on our desks, literally everywhere. Even have articles of clothing that reminded us to be inspired for liberty. So yeah, that's kind of changing the home environment. You can start changing your culture, start infusing your home with books and movie and music that will inspire kids to fight for liberty and admire heroes throughout history who have done the same thing. Knowing from personal experience, I didn't quite catch on to the vision until I was 17. That's totally okay, but I can promise you if you try to cultivate that environment for your kids, there will come a time when they won't forget it. Another thing is, you know, finding your family mission. Find some way to get out there and serve other people. Start small. It doesn't need to be some huge organization or something really big. You know, I really feel like if you just sit down and you pray, God's looking for people that want to help him with his work. He'll give you lots of good, really good creative ideas. If you pray about it, start exploring even specific causes that you feel like you're called to defend or that you want to get motivated and contribute to. remember your family covenants and the covenants of your ancestors and everything. And any child at any age can contribute, you know, whether the child is 3, 4, 5 or 18, 19. Another thing is just studying your ancestors and your covenant birthright and heritage. If you don't have ancestors or that you know of and you've studied and you can't find them, go find other people's ancestors or other heroes throughout history. our dad tried to do that, especially with us, where he tried to point us back to the prophets in the Book of Mormon. And, he helped us like design t-shirts or create, another project that we did recently is we created kind of a Nephite resolution where, you know, on it, it kind of just says like, you know, I promise to defend my covenants. I promise to, defend the restoration. I promise to defend the family. And then you have a little part at the bottom where kids can sign it, if they want to take that pledge for themselves.
So I have to go.
Yeah. Okay.
So you can find awesome resources on their site, and that's where you go to find all this stuff.
Yep. JosephSmithFoundation.org, or I can give you my email or phone number if you just want me to send you stuff directly too. And yeah, the last thing I just had on here is just start delving into the scriptures and specifically looking for the covenants that are found there and ways that you can apply those covenants and those principles there. And then the last thing I just wanted to close out with was a poem that my dad wrote. It was kind of the inspiration behind the title of my presentation. It's called Faithful Footsteps, and it's sung to the tune of Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. And this is a song that my dad wrote, and it kind of starts, there's four different verses to it. It starts with the Pilgrims and the Puritans, then it talks about, it starts with the Reformation, then it goes on to the Pilgrims and the Puritans and the miracle of the storm at sea where they were saved from that storm that was going to break the ship and drown them all. Then it has a verse, the third verse talks about the founding fathers, and how what they did to stand up for liberty and the sacrifices that they made. And then the last verse talks about, Joseph and Hiram Smith. So it kind of encompasses the rest, the Reformation, the founding of America and the Pilgrims and Puritans, the Revolutionary War and the Restoration, all in four verses. It's really beautiful. I'm not gonna sing it for you. My sister, Hannah, she has a really beautiful version of this. She has a really good voice, and she has sung this at presentations, and it's on YouTube for those who want to hear the song there. So that sums up my presentation. Thanks for coming. Thanks for all you guys are doing to kind of raise your family. So. Thanks all. Appreciate you coming today.
Hey, thanks. No problem. Thank you.